tonight, Luke chapter number 8. This is our New Testament book. It's been a while since we've been back here, but we've come to Luke chapter 8. I remind you that I've already preached through Matthew, and as I preached on Matthew, I preached on all the gospel accounts of that particular story. And then I moved into Mark and did patchwork there. In other words, passages in Mark that Matthew didn't deal with. Now we've moved into Luke and dealing with passages in Luke that neither Matthew nor Mark dealt with. And we've come to Luke chapter 8, the first three verses. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." I want to draw your attention to one word found in verse number 1. It's the word afterward. And I preach to you tonight on that subject, afterward, after some things. He's talking about chapter 7, the events that we've already preached on. After these things, we see the events of verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I pray that you take full control of this service. Forgive my sins. I mean that. If there is anything, I mean anything in my heart, in my mind, that's displeasing to you, please forgive me, remove it, and get it out. I pray, Lord, that as these precious people look this way and listen in, that Lord, they hear the voice of God speaking. I know it won't be in an audible voice, but Lord, speak into our hearts in a clear tone. Challenge us tonight, I pray. Help me to do an accurate job explaining the Word of God. You be our preacher, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 7 of this book was absolutely jam-packed with events that our Lord was involved in. We've already preached on those things. You can go back and get it. Put it under the title, God Hath Visited His People. In that chapter, the Lord Jesus healed the centurion's servant. He raised the widow's son. He answered John's question. He exposed unbelief. And he saved a sinner. All of these things could have only been done by the hand of the Lord God Himself. By the way, those events that we see in chapter 7, let us rejoice in the fact that our God can still do those great things today. And as we come to our text in chapter 8, we see it's after these things. It's afterward. It's after the events of chapter 7. And what I see when I see these three verses, I see three things. And these three things we can all learn from. I want to put a lot of food on your plate tonight. It's going to be in a basic, simple outline, but there's going to be application throughout the message. And I want you to ask God, God, help me to get what you want me to get tonight. I realize that everything that's preached here may not specifically apply to you, but there's something in this message that every one of us can take home with us tonight. And I want you to ask God, God, help me not to miss it. Help me to pay attention. Help me to listen closely, and help me to know when you're speaking. First thing I want to show you afterward, in other words, what took place after the events of chapter 7. Number one, we see the preaching of Jesus. We see this in the first part of chapter 8, verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching, there it is, and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The very first thing we see in these verses is how the Lord went throughout every city, the Bible says, and every village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. When we define these words, we find out what he was doing here. This word preaching here means to herald as a public crier. In other words, he was lifting his voice. And according to the original language, this phrase here, that he was showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, according to my study, what that means is that he was going about in every village, sharing the message of the gospel and evangelizing all of those places. The Word of God is clear. that we should follow the example of Jesus Christ. And this means that we should spend our time doing what he did. And may I tell you and remind you, and we're reminded again here in Luke chapter 8, verse number 1, that one thing that was a constant business of the Lord Jesus Christ, something that he was constantly, all the time doing, is he was preaching the gospel to the people everywhere he went. Let us glean some things here. Let us apply some things here. In other words, what's dear to God's heart should be dear to my heart. And what's dear to his heart should be dear to your heart tonight. And we learn that the first thing that we see afterward, after the events, folks, he's just saved a soul at the latter part of chapter 7. Matter of fact, the last verse says in chapter 7, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. He's just saved this woman. And the very next verse, it says he went into every city and every village preaching the gospel and showing the glad tidings of the good news. This tells me that it was important to Jesus that every city and every village had an opportunity to hear the message. And let us glean some things here. Let us apply some truths here before we go to point number two. First of all, the first thing that the Lord showed me here about his preaching is that he got up and went. What's that mean? This means he didn't wait for the cities and villages to come to him. He got up and went to them. And the fact of the matter is we will not spread the gospel message the way we should unless we are willing to get up and go. See, working, what I'm saying to you is that it's the will of God for every house, every village, every city, every country, every town, every zip code. It is the will of God that every single person has the gospel message shared with them. And I'm telling you, the only way that's going to happen is if God's people do what Jesus did, and that is get up and go to them. Now I want to ask you a question. How much going did you do this week? How much did you get up and go tell a city? I'm talking in spiritual terms. Your city might be your neighbors. It might be your coworkers. It might be your classmates. It might be your family members. How many people did you spread the gospel to this week? How many people did I spread the gospel to? We're working right now. I'm working with two of our men in our church. God bless them. They both make me feel like a peon. Of course, I'm a peon anyway. I understand that. But I'm talking about mentally make me feel like a peon with what they know about computers and all of this. And they're helping me get our door-to-door ministry organized. Just met tonight, right before church. And they're doing a great job with it already. I've got a desire in this part of the world that every home should get the gospel presented to it by Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You say, Jody, is it possible? Absolutely. I'm working on a letter right now. I'm finalizing it, and this letter is just the gospel message, just burdening people. Hey, what's it take to go to heaven? And God willing, it's going to take some money now. I don't think I'm going to do it all at one time, but just in chunks maybe, because we're hoping we'll get prospects out of this. But every single home, God willing, is going to be receiving a letter from this church just inviting them to the gospel message and telling them how they can go to heaven when they die. I'm going to tell you something. God's in that. God's pleased with that. And the first thing we see about the preaching of Jesus, first of all, to apply this to us, he got up and he went to them. Secondly, he preached the gospel to them. Let me tell you what the folks need. They don't need social reform. Let me tell you what the people need. Hey, they don't need a shoulder to cry on. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went everywhere preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And let us understand that what a message we have to share. What a wonderful message we have. The gospel of Christ. And those people in every city, in every town, in every zip code, every village, they need to hear the gospel. God applied this to me that he went. He went after them. He didn't wait on them to come to him. He went after them. Am I doing that? He took the message of the gospel to them. He didn't take social reform and all these other kind of things. Hey, just believe in yourself. Hey, just do this. Hey, just turn over a new leaf. No, he shared with them what they must do to be saved. And that's the responsibility of this church. Or to be a shining light of the gospel. The third thing we see in this point here is finally he went throughout every city and every village. This means he covered every city and village that was in his area with the gospel message. And may I say this, we too should see our responsibility to go throughout every country, every state, every city, every town, every village, every house, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us accept the responsibility of making sure every house in our area at least hears about Jesus Christ. Let us do our part in helping to make sure the gospel is presented in every country. Let us do our part to make sure it's presented in every state, in every city, in every town, every village, every house. This means that everybody needs to get involved. I'm telling you that if I don't do my part, now God is much bigger than me, and God can work around me. And if I don't go, God can burden somebody else's heart to go to those same people. I understand all of that. But it's time we realize that God saved us for a purpose, friends. And the purpose is that He's given us, He saved us by the gospel, and now He's given us the gospel to share to a lost and dying world. I'm convicted. I've not done my part in this. When's the last time you knocked on your neighbor's door? When's the last time you pulled that coworker in that he's got a bad mouth and all this other kind of stuff and you can't really stand even being around him? And you go home and complain about him and all this, but you've never one time taken a gospel track and said, listen, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? What am I saying? I'm saying if I don't get involved, somebody may never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. That's what I'm saying. God's burdened my heart about unreached zip codes in the United States of America. God's burdened my heart about unreached cities, villages, and towns, and homes. There's somebody around the world tonight, they don't have a floor. They have a mud hut. They don't have boards. They don't have termites because there's nothing for the termites to eat where they live. And they're going around searching for something. God's people sit at home, complain about this and complain about that and complain about that. And the whole time, that person right there is crying out, God, show me more about you. You know what wouldn't bother me? It wouldn't bother me in the least. If God sent half this church around the world, it wouldn't bother me in the least. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends, time is running out. It's running out. And I'm telling you, it's time that we understand there's a job to do. And He wants us to tell everybody, everywhere, about the gospel. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. J.C. Ryle put it this way, and I quote, in the world to come, there will be no ignorant to instruct, no mourners to comfort, no spiritual darkness to enlighten, no distress to relieve, no sorrow to make less. Whatever work we do of this kind must be done on this side of the grave. Let us awake to our sense of our individual responsibility. Souls are perishing. Time is flying. Let us resolve by God's grace to do something for God's glory before we die. Once more, let us remember our Lord's example and like Him be diligent and redeem time. I'm simply just trying to help burden this church. This church is a lighthouse. This church is going forth with the gospel. Some of you are going forth every week of your life telling people about the Lord. And I'm simply trying to tell you that's what Jesus did. That's what He wants us to do. And may we all see our own obligation and responsibility to get up and get busy spreading the gospel throughout the whole world. Start with your own sphere of influence. Start with your neighbors. Start with your family members. Start with your co-workers. And why don't you resolve right now in your heart that you're going to help this local church knock on every door in our area. Help missionaries around the world to plant local churches and reach their part of the vineyard. God, help us to see our privilege. Our privilege to do this. And the priority that God places upon it. Number one, in our text, we see the preaching of Jesus. But number two, we see the people with Jesus. We see this in verse 1, the latter part, all the way down through the first part of verse number 3. Let's read it here. And the 12 were with him, the last phrase of verse number 1. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. See, the first thing we see is the preaching of Jesus, but secondly, we see the people with Jesus. See, the second major thing we see is the people the Lord surrounded himself with. The word with here means to be associated with. It means to have companionship with. Now, those mentioned were the 12, along with several women and many others. Now, in this, we see both men and women were allowed the privilege to be with the Lord. Mary Magdalene, whom the Lord cast out 7 devils, was with him. Joanna, who is the wife of Herod's steward, by the way, that's the same Herod who chopped off John the Baptist's head. And his own steward of that wicked, ungodly king, the wife of his steward, found a companion in Jesus Christ. Susanna is only mentioned here. This is the only time you'll see her mentioned in the Word of God. It's the only time. And the only time you see her mentioned is she's with Jesus. Now, when we think about these people with the Lord, there's several things I glean here, I apply, if you will. Let me apply this point, the people with Jesus. What can we get from that? Number one, under this, being with Christ is more important than who we are. Did you hear what I said? Being with Christ is more important than who we are. This is one way the Lord spoke to me, specifically about the two ladies named Joanna and Susanna. They're not very well-known Bible characters. Matter of fact, if I told you, and I've already said this, to do a Bible study on Susanna, you would only find her mentioned here. If I told you to do a Bible study on Joanna, you would only find her mentioned here in one other place. And that's in chapter 4 of this book in verse number 10. Susanna's only mentioned once. Joanna's only mentioned twice. We don't know much about them except that they were with God. The point is, it doesn't matter how well known we are in this world. It really doesn't matter, friends. You know what this flesh struggles with? People knowing you. People patting you on the back. Being exalted. But the fact of the matter is, we're kind of cut down to size here a little bit. That God's reminding us, it doesn't really matter if the world knows who you are. What really matters is being with Him. Being with Christ is more important than the world knowing your name. Determine that you're going to spend your time wisely. And wisely spent time is time spent with Christ. This is what life is all about. Matter of fact, Mark chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, and He ordained 12 that they should be with Him. And that He might send them forth to preach. Somebody says, hey, He brought 12 to Him so He could send them forth. That's true. But the Bible always mentions things in order for a reason, friends. He called those 12 to Him not first so they could go preach, which is what we open the message with. Does God want us to preach the gospel? Sure. Does He want us to go out and work? And does He want to send us forth as a mighty army? Yes. But the Bible says that He ordained 12, first of all, that they might be with Him. And that He might send them forth to preach. One way the Lord spoke to me about this is that being with Christ is more important than who you are. Secondly, He spoke to me in this point, the people with Christ. Secondly, second application, Christ wants both men and women to be with him. Being with Christ is something that applies to both men and women. The Life Application King James Study Bible put it this way: Jesus raised women from degradation and servitude back in Bible days to fellowship and service. In Jewish culture, women were not supposed to learn from rabbis. That's who people considered Jesus to be. He was, you know, he was a teacher. He's a rabbi. Now, he's more than that, but they looked at him as a Bible teacher. And back in this day, women weren't supposed to be around them. Did you know that? Women were not supposed to learn directly from rabbis. I guess what that means is that the man would learn from the rabbi, and I guess the woman would learn from her husband. I don't know what that means, but according to my study right here, that women were not supposed to learn from rabbis, but Jesus allowed not only women to get close to him, he also allowed women. And I'm telling you that in this, he was showing that all people are equal with God. I heard something recently when a lady who's played in movies or something like that, she had made the statement that she is going to submit to her husband because the Bible tells her to. And some folks on Good Morning America, as far as I'm concerned, they're liberals, don't know God or anything else. Amen. On Good Morning America, they were blasting the Word of God, saying that the Word of God is the most male chauvinistic book in the entire world. Take that verse to them and see what they say about it. God's not against women. He loves women. And he has elevated them to a place that the world has never elevated a woman. Amen, friends. What am I saying? I'm saying that we learn, second of all, that being with Christ, being a companion with him, I'm talking about being on the same side. That's not just something for men. That's something for women too. It's something for both. So whether you're a woman or a man, determine that what you're going to go after is simply spending time with Jesus. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that God allows me to have his full attention. And he'll do the same for you. First John chapter 1 verse 3 says that that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Just three ways to apply the people with Jesus. First of all, being with Christ is more important than who we are. Second, Christ wants both men and women to be with him, to be his companion, to be associated with him. Finally, the Lord showed me this, that these people are a testimony to the power of the message. What I mean by that is the Lord was traveling around preaching the good news of the gospel. He was traveling to this city and that village and this city and that village, teaching that the gospel message could set them free, could change your life, could fill you with peace. And it's interesting that he surrounded himself with people that had been changed by that message. You see what I'm saying? 11 of the 12 disciples were drastically changed by the power of the gospel. The Bible says that there were women that he had cast devils out of, and then it mentions one specifically, Mary Magdalene, whom he cast 7 devils out of. She had been changed by the gospel. Joanna, even though that her husband was in, if you will, the courtyard of an ungodly king, King Herod, her life had been touched and changed by the message. Susanna had been changed by the message. And the point is this: consider all those who are with him, these men, these women, all these people. And what God was showing is he was walking around to every city, every village. He was walking around with fishermen. He was walking around with a doctor. Dr. Luke is who I'm talking about. He was a rock, right here. He, He was walking around with formerly demon-possessed people like Mary Magdalene. He was walking around with somebody who's in the king's palace in Joanna. He's walking around with a lady that we don't know anything about. She's unknown. And what he's saying is this: whether you're a fisherman or a doctor or demon-possessed or a man or a woman or in the palace or nobody knows your name, the gospel can change your life. That's what he's doing. And I'm telling you here that he's walking around with these people and saying, what I've done for them, I can do for you. And I'm simply trying to say, can you imagine what heaven must be like? We're going to be able to talk to Mary Magdalene. By the way, the unbelieving world tries to say that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were involved in an immoral relationship. That is blasphemous, my friends. I'm telling you that he was involved in saving her soul, setting her free. And I'm telling you one thing, that woman knew God. And I'm simply trying to say, isn't it interesting that when he's traveling around preaching, he's not going alone. He surrounded himself with men, women, demon-possessed. That person in Herod's place, this lady, this is the only time she's mentioned. We don't know anything about her. Some of these disciples, I'm saying tax collectors, you name it, he surrounded himself with them, and he's saying, this message I'm preaching to you, it changed them, it can also change you. Number one, the preaching of Jesus. Number two, the people with Jesus. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth," everyone. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then the third and final thing we see in our text here is the possessions given to Jesus. So we see the preaching of Jesus. We see the people with Jesus. And now we see the possessions given to Jesus. This is found in the last part of verse number 3. Let's just read verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Cousa Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, notice this, which ministered unto him of their substance. And the final thing we see in these verses is how the Bible says these women ministered unto him of their substance. This word ministered here means to wait upon. It means to serve. It means to be an attendant to something. The word substance means possessions. There's where I get my third major point. It means possessions. It means property. It means goods, or that which one has. In other words, this means, this phrase, which ministered unto him of their substance. What this phrase means is this. It means that they had possessions. Even God's word says it was their substance. Now, it came from God. It's all God's. But he allows them to call it theirs. It was their substance. And the idea is this. They loved him so much because of what he did for them that they took their possessions, theirs, and they served him with them. Now, we automatically think about money, all these kind of things. That's certainly an application here, but that's where a lot of people try to start it and stop it right there. I'm simply trying to say this. Whatever you possess, whatever God has given you to call your own, your possessions, I'm simply trying to say that God can be served with them. Whatever they are. Now, there's two things I want to share here with you. I've already started out this first one. First of all, I'm applying this. We can serve God with our possessions. Now, when we think about what we have, there are several things that come to mind. Money, a vehicle, our house, our health. You realize health is a possession? Your health, your children, your spouse. Just apply to whatever God's speaking here about. Everything that you can say, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. Something that God's given you, but I mean you can literally say, that's mine, that's my house, that's my car, that's mine, that's mine. What am I saying? I'm saying whatever it may be, God can be served with it. God can use your money to do so much more with it than you and I can. If you give it to God, He can use your vehicle to bring people to church. He can use your health to tell people about God. He can use your trouble to tell people about Jesus. He can use your house to have a Bible study or to be a sanctuary where you're not going to let anything ungodly in. What am I saying? I'm simply saying this, that what God has given to us, it may be our possessions given to us by God, but God didn't give all of that to us just to selfishly use for us. Now, He wants to take care of our family. He wants us to do all these kind of things. No question about that. But I'm saying that a lot of things that God gives to us, He wants us to recognize His goodness to us and for us to take those things and say, God, whatever you can do with it, take it. It's yours. It is yours. Matthew chapter 26, I don't want you to turn to these passages for time's sake, but in Matthew 26, listen to this, verse number 6. The Word of God says this, Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, it's hers, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? By the way, the world will always look at what you give to Jesus and say, What a waste. You could have done so much with that. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. She had a very precious box of ointment. It was hers. Very precious. But she realized that Jesus meant so much more to her than that box of ointment. And she willingly broke it and gave it to Him. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 says this, And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in all of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. By the way, your giving, whether it be money, whether it be that, whether it be your time, whatever it may be, do you realize time is a possession of yours? Can God be served with your time? Absolutely. And I'm simply trying to say the first way that He applied this to me is that we can serve God with our possessions. But secondly, and I'm coming to a close with this, true love gives. True love gives. One person put it this way, true love will count it a pleasure to give anything to the object loved. In other words, your love for the object determines your attitude about giving to that object. There are people today who refuse to give anything to the Lord. They won't give anything. Money, time, whatever. They won't. They're not going to do it. And this only shows the depth of their love for Him. That's what it does. When we realize the great debt that we owed Him and He forgave it, we will have no problem giving everything we have to serve Him. Everything. I want to ask you a question. Do you truly love Jesus? Before you answer, how's your attitude with your possessions? That's mine. By the way, you can have that attitude without it ever coming out your face like that. I will not give that. I work too hard for that. No. I will not give my time. I will not give. I'm not going to give it, not going to give it, not going to give it. I've worked hard. All this guy. I'm not. And the whole time, all that attitude says is you've lost sight of Calvary. When you see Calvary for what it is, we will have no problem taking everything that we consider to be ours, stepping back from it and saying, God, it's really not mine in the first place. And if you'll show me how I can serve you with it, you can have it. By the way, the ultimate example of true love gives is God Himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 4:9-10, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. In other words, in this is how God showed He loves us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, as I come to a close here, let me just remind you about what we've preached. These opening three verses of Luke chapter number 8, we brought out three major things. First of all, we talked about how the Lord preached the gospel in every city and every village. And we too need to see our responsibility to preach the gospel everywhere we go and help every city, every country, every zip code, every house hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Secondly, we notice the Lord allowed both men and women to be surrounded or surround Him. And these men and women, He was simply showing the world that this message is not just for men, it's for both. And it's not just for those who are in king's palaces, it's for those that you don't know anything about. And it's not just for doctors, but it's also for tax collectors. It's not just for tax collectors, it's for fishermen. In other words, He's saying, this message will change your life no matter who you are. And we close tonight with the Lord was ministered to. He was served with the possessions that these women had of their own. They brought their possessions to the feet of Jesus and served Him with them. Now, I don't know how the Lord is applying this to your heart and life, but I know this. Every one of us can have the application that we need to tell people about Jesus. Amen or not, friends? Every one of us can learn and even rejoice. If you're saved tonight, you can rejoice that you are part of the crowd that's with Christ. Men, women, boys, girls, huge sinners, small sinners, whatever the case may be, no matter what profession you may be, if you've been saved, God's changed your life with the gospel message. And we can all say, God, the possessions that You have allowed me to have in reality are not my possessions at all. They're Yours. And I want You to help me to see that my car, my house, my health, my time, my money, everything that You'd put my in front of, my family, my job, whatever You put my in front of, whatever You claim to be Yours, God has given it to you and has given you an opportunity to take those very things and turn around and serve Him with them. Will you take your hands off? And will you say, God, You've been good to me. You love me and You proved it by sending Jesus. And because of You, I'm headed to that place where then outweighs now. And while I have this short lifespan, don't let me get bogged down with the possessions that You've been so gracious to give to me and serve myself, me, myself, and I. Help me to take my hands off and serve You the best I possibly can. You know what some parents need to do tonight? I'm talking to myself. Our own children. Are you willing to serve God with them? Well, right now, are you thinking to yourself, please, God, don't call my kid to be a missionary. You can send him anywhere, just keep him in America. Send her anywhere, just make sure she ends up in my neighborhood when she gets married. Send him anywhere, but don't do that. Can I remind you of something as I remind myself? My boy back there, and my two precious girls, they're not mine. God gave them to us. And he did not give them to us to do this. He gave them to us to do this with. And I want my children to know, especially my son. My daughter's growing and all of this, but some of these things don't make sense to her. But I want my son to know that what daddy wants for you, and I know what mommy wants for you, she's sitting beside you. I know what she wants, and I'm telling you what I want. I want God to tell you what to do in your life. And if it is stay here, now if it's live at home, I'm going to buck up against that, okay? But if it's stay here and move right down the road, which is what he did with me, with my mom and daddy, if God's in it, so be it. But if God calls you to China, you'll be taking a step down to become the president of the United States of America. I mean it. I mean every word of that. How do you view your possessions? The preaching of Jesus, the people with Jesus, the possessions given to Jesus. May the Lord do whatever he wants to with it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Help us tonight to see this. Help us, Lord, to mean business. And I pray tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for the example that you set. You never tell us to do something that you've not gone ahead and done before us, such as preach the gospel to every creature. That's what you spent your life doing. And now you want us to spend our life doing it. Help me to guide this invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has the gospel message changed your life? Have you been saved? Do you have the peace of God ruling and reigning? If you say no to that or you're concerned about that, come in just a moment as we give the invitation. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll share the gospel with you. It'll be your decision to say yes or to say no, but I guarantee if you say yes, you'll never regret it. Well, maybe tonight God's burdening you about preaching the gospel. It's what Jesus did. It's what we need to be doing. Maybe God's burdening you about your neighbors, your co-workers. I don't know how God's using that, but talk to him about it. Or maybe the Lord's speaking to you tonight about being more concerned about being with him than being known. The fact of the matter is even though human beings think this way, we're reminded in this text that it doesn't matter if this world knows my name. It really doesn't matter. What does matter is that Jesus does. And he's allowed me the privilege to be associated with him. That's what that word means, with Jesus. It means associated with him. It means to be a companion of his. Maybe God's speaking to you just about spending more time with him. Or maybe God's talking to you about your possessions. It could be that you've been giving and God's just coming down and patting you on the back and say, thank you for how you've been giving that. Please don't ever stop. I can use it. I can use it. I can use it. I don't know how the Lord's using it, but however he does, let's let him have his way. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Do eternal business with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. God is speaking to you. Would you leave your place and come? Come now, please.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence day.
Preaching one more time. And I pray as we leave tonight that you'll burden our hearts
for a lost and dying world outside the walls of this church. Help us to take gospel tracts and spread them around this area. Show us cities and places around the world that need a clear presentation of the gospel, and help us to do our part to help a missionary there or something, to get a church planted. Show us what to do, Lord. We want to thank you tonight for how good you've been to us. And help us to take the possessions that you've given us and help us to give them right back to you and serve you. Use everything that we call ours to serve Jesus Christ. Bless this church. Keep your hand upon us. I beg of you now. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us first in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Let me remind you about the meeting with those who are discipling or you want to disciple up here. Those sweetheart dinner tickets are available tonight. Please go get those. Get your complimentary ticket. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. If you need to see me, I'll be up here just for a brief time, okay?